Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
As you may already know, not all movement practices are designed equally. In the Lit Yoga Method, we help you retrain your brain and body to move better for everyday life. Through physical therapy drills, yoga, functional mobility, core stability, and flexibility, the Lit Method rewires habitual movement patterns and postural imbalances to help you feel stronger, more energized, and more balanced both on and off the mat. Our online platform, The Lit Daily, is designed for easy convenience with a robust offering of class types so you can boost your energy while getting stress relief. Yes! Improved brain wiring means you will move with more ease and efficiency because we teach you the how and why behind movement choices, not just poses for the sake of poses. All movement teachers on the platform are certified by Lit and share a common language, providing education with clear cues that give you the needed reinforcement for enhancing your movement habits. Thousands of students in over 60 countries get Lit to feel more confident, more powerful, and more alive. We offer two subscription options for all levels and bodies. The Lit Daily option includes library of 500 plus classes with so many categories, including short on time, injury prevention, stress relief, and body parts. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we offer live classes streamed on Lit Daily. There's a class of the day to help you take the guesswork out of what class to do, and monthly workshops are 50% off. Then the Lit Studio option has everything I just mentioned in the daily option, plus 20 weekly live Zoom classes with Lit teachers providing real-time feedback. There are monthly workshops that are free for these studio members. You can stream all of this right to your TV Air device through Android, iPhone, and iPad apps. Movement changes everything. When we move better, we feel better. So sign up for our free one-week trial and see how getting Lit can help you feel your best today and for years to come. I'm Laura Hyman, and welcome to Redefining Movement, a Lit podcast designed to investigate all aspects of movement from my background in physical therapy and neuroscience. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through smarter movement patterns and compassion for ourselves and others, so together we can live our most uplifted lives, benefiting all beings.
Welcome to our monthly deep dive. I'm joined by my fearless co-leader, Kristen Williams. And we are talking about navigating the postnatal period today. So we really want to dive a little bit deeper into postnatal health, postnatal conditioning, fitness, postnatal fears and fear-mongering, all of that. So first, let's just talk about what is postnatal period. Technically, it's the acute stage. It's kind of like healing. The stage right after giving birth, anywhere from right after giving birth to 6 weeks, is often defined as the postnatal period. But anybody that's given birth knows that that's much longer. It's much longer than that. And that doesn't mean that in that postnatal period, you have to treat yourself the same at 6 weeks postnatal to like 1 year. But there are concerns that come up. There are things that you're dealing with early on that are not necessarily the same as later on, but we really want to look at postnatal as any time after having a baby. So it could be 6 weeks, it could be 6 months, it could be 6 years. And I think that's really important to remember. And we see that a lot as physical therapists and lit teachers, that we want to know if somebody's had a baby, because it does have a potential root cause for some of the postural imbalances, neuromotor firing differences, et cetera. Some of the common changes that occur with pregnancy are kind of the key for everything that we're going to talk about. And those changes in the body, specifically postural changes, will include things like your pelvis is probably going to be tilted more anteriorly because of the shift in your center of mass. And with that, there's an increase in what's known as lumbar lordosis, which is the low back, it has a bigger arch than it normally does. That also will push the bottom of your rib cage forward. So that lower thoracic area is also getting more compressed and pushed forward. So the stacking of the ribs over the pelvis is almost always going to be impacted because, again, you've been growing a baby. Your uterus has gotten bigger and there's got to be an outward movement because we only have so much space. And that's really also going to play out differently on people based on their height and based on the length of their waist and things like that. Another thing that often occurs is the shoulders become more rounded. The upper back becomes more rounded because as you are pregnant, your breasts are growing, the density, the heaviness of the breast become heavier. So you're literally tend to round more. And then afterwards in the postnatal period, if you're breastfeeding, if you're holding the baby, that just exacerbates that rounded shoulder. Another thing we'll briefly touch on a little bit is diastasis recti is another common occurrence. Well, let's just say everybody, 100% of pregnant women are going to have it. When we hear this as a diagnosis, and I say that in quote, it feels like a very fear-producing label, but everyone's going to have it. It's the same idea. You only have so much you can stretch out before there's going to be some natural separation. So diastasis recti is when the connective tissue, the fascia surrounding the rectus abdominis, which is the six-pack muscle, the most superficial layer of your abdominals, it starts to separate. And that can become problematic if it's not addressed, but everyone will have it. And just like getting stretched out in other ways, it will return and not be problematic as long as it's addressed. But those other postural kind of changes are very, very important to address when you're addressing diastasis recti. There's also poor posture when you're like just dealing with not only breastfeeding, but dealing with just a baby. We're really rounded. We tend to not stand as much upright. We don't have as much of the support system in place. Think about everything's gotten shifted around. And so your brain has adjusted to those shifts, even though it's only happened over a short period of your lifespan. And so you have to remember that in those early days and then continuing on from there. How do you, like, it's almost like a one of those toys that you just have to put back together, and the stack has got to be really emphasized because you're more likely to just create more postural dysfunctions and at least some big imbalances as time goes on. And well, with that, you're going to have the muscle imbalances.
Well, it's interesting that you're talking about all the postural changes that occur, and we label the postnatal period as being 6 weeks. And Laura, we know that it takes well longer than 6 weeks to retrain these neuromuscular patterns that you've just spent, let's say, at least 6 of your 9 months of pregnancy developing. So it's funny that current Western medicine gives this, 6 weeks is postnatal, when that's really just considered the healing stage of the changes that are occurring from the actual birth itself. But what's interesting about, I think, the lit perspective is that we are looking at a much broader and longer perspective, which is why you said that it can be way longer than just 6 weeks.
And that's what, and moms will say to me, well, I mean, I had a baby 7 years ago, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. That just means that if those these imbalances weren't addressed, you know, not necessarily in those for 6 weeks, because I also look at those, that's the survival weeks.
Yeah.
Because in addition to all the changes, we know there's ligamentous changes, you have hormonal changes that impact the ligaments, but there's also hormonal changes that impact your mental well-being, you're fatigued, you've got sleep deprivation. There's so much. And just this, and as new parents, just this overriding, like, I just want the baby to be okay. So there's this extra vigilance that's layered on top of all this exhaustion and anything physical. It's a lot. And so we do look at, like, yes, we're talking to the people who just had babies 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, but we're also talking to anyone who's had a kid and it might have some of the kind of quote unquote issues that we're going to briefly speak about.
Yeah. Well, and I do think that, nowadays people are getting more informed about what they should do after they have a baby. When you and I had our kids, pelvic floor PT was hardly even a thing. It was not even spoken of, you know, about. So, you know, I do think that that is a plus. I do think that there are, speaking of fear mongering, you know, that can kind of go hand in hand with a lot of the messaging that's going out is to not do anything with the core. You know, we don't want to cause pelvic floor imbalance. So, you know, heaven forbid, don't suck your belly in, don't hold any type of abdominal tone, which I do think is a disservice to these new moms. It's this pendulum swing that's gone the other way. It is not to say, yes, now I would argue when you and I had babies, it was all the rage for the person who could walk out of the hospital in their same jeans because, you know, like that was what was cool. We're not talking about that. But so much of these changes, you've lost an awareness. It's the neuromuscular retraining that has to occur between the brain and the abdomen, the brain and, like you said, the posture, the skeleton. Where the heck am I in space? I mean, I was going through your teacher training. Bailey was what, 6 years old, 5 or 6? So I was 5 or 6 years from my third kid. And I'd never addressed my diastasis recti I looked like I had an alien. You know, I would lean back and it was just no abdominal control. So, you know, the pendulum has swung the other way for good, but I do think that there's some moderation that needs to be talked about as well, which I think we will talk about here in a bit.
Right. And what you're really referring to is that there's probably no other population that receives so many fear-producing messages and so much judgment as mothers. I mean, really, you're getting judged by other mothers, you're getting judged by yourself, you're getting judged by, you know, professionals. And not that everyone's doing that, but there is just a cloud of that really does exist. And so it produces this like, well, I don't want to mess anything up. And, you know, we went from, again, like more of our generation, everybody thought, well, I leak a little bit when I cough or jump, and that's normal. And that's just what I'm going to live with the rest of my life, which is not true. That's like not addressing something that is very, very addressable. And then there's swinging the other way and saying like, oh, if you know, some of the fear mongering is like with diastasis recti, you can't do any abdominal work. You can't do any planks, anything that's like pushing down. And it's like, well, no, you can progress to that. But, you know, new research has actually shown that exercises like plank, like specific core work, help diastasis recti. So we have to kind of walk through some of the murk together. And we're just, again, giving our experience, both as physical therapists, as moms. But we've worked with primarily women and many of them who are moms and who have had some postnatal changes that have impacted their movement. And with that, there's some fear. So the first thing is, one is, we should preface this all by saying, if there's anything you aren't sure about that you do have fear about, you should see somebody. You absolutely should see, whether it's a physical therapist, a pelvic PT, a nurse practitioner, a psychotherapist. All of these things are really beneficial, and we should utilize them more so that we don't become our own worst enemy and fear movement and fear all the stuff. The other thing is, are you going to return to your previous self? I would argue that you could actually be even more improved, because postnatal period gives you an opportunity to pay attention and rewire movement patterns and postural habits and core in a way that you might not have been forced to do, because so many people are just living in their bodies and proceeding, and might have some suboptimal habits, whether it's posture or movement. And there's nothing that really causes them to stop and address it. But that's why I look at like injuries the same way. Pregnancy is not an injury, but they both give you an opportunity to go slower and really pay attention to biomechanics, to posture, to breathing, to working core. And core is not sucking your belly in, like you mentioned. It is holding your center steady so that your limbs can move. That's essentially what the core is doing. Nobody achieves that by sucking their belly in, but you do need to draw it into center collectively with some other of the core muscles to stabilize. So if you're thinking soft belly, that belly is going away from the spine, the area that you need to hold with some stability, dynamic stability, which is not gripping, but you don't want to keep it soft when you're doing work, when you're like we were talking. I mean, we're sitting here, I'm sitting here, I don't have anything behind me. I'm sitting upright because I have developed enough core intelligence, responsiveness, that I have a low level of tone. I'm not sucking in my belly. I'm not letting it poof out. It just knows, hey, you want to sit upright? This is what I need to do. Well, that's what you have to retrain. And you might be retraining it, by the way, for the first time, if you haven't really paid attention to biomechanics and posture. Talk a little bit about your diastasis. You felt like it was just going to be there. And did it play out in any way in like leakage or low back pain or just overall endurance low back pain?
I never had leakage, still don't have, you know, I take that back. After my third and I never noticed it until going to the trampoline park, where all of a sudden, like on a trampoline, I was like, oh my gosh, I just peed my, but I'm a runner. So, I mean, I could run, sneeze, cough, so very mild. You know, I consider, oh gosh, I got to wear a panty liner when I go to the trampoline park. You know what? I've had three kids, so that's fine. Like that to me, I'm not complaining. But low back pain. Yeah. I've had low back pain since high school. I'm very long torsoed, not ever really super strong in the core, you know, didn't do many much abdominal work. I've always been athletic, but not necessarily that driven, attention to the core. So I had a split, and it was a solid two, maybe even three fingers width of a diastasis recti, a split above and around my belly button. So that's the other thing about DR is you can have it in different areas, and, you know, so you need to address it differently depending on where it is. And I do think that that is where the rib cage and the pelvis, their relation to each other is so important. Because we rarely think about the rib cage and, I mean, how it is, we've got the obliques that are part of our respiratory musculature. So, you know, we can effectively utilize the obliques to change the position of the ribs that then is going to help draw that webbing in. In fact, you know, speaking of fear mongering, I mean, everybody's like, don't do a crunch. You don't want to work the rectus abdominis. I mean, your rectus abdominis, the linea alba, which is what split, but that's part of it. You know, recent studies have shown we do want to work the rectus abdominis, the six-pack abs. Yes, we want to work TVA is what everybody's been talking about. TVA and Kegels was all you ever heard about, really, especially Kegels after having a baby. But, you know, now we're kind of shifting away where we're realizing that you need to work into some, in my opinion, controlled and very intentional crunches, which is what I got when I came to LIT. Came to your classes and you started to ask me to do, we always did three sets of abs and I was spitting fire at the end, so mad because it was so hard. And it wasn't like I was looking every day to see, is my DR improving? Because I really didn't. I just thought low back pain was going to be something I'd have for the rest of my life. And it was no big deal. But the most amazing thing that I think the focus on posture through what we do has improved. I can't remember. I think I was trying to demonstrate my DR in a teacher training call. And I was like, where'd it go? You know, I mean, I didn't realize it. So just by retraining where my posture, being aware, I'm a big anteriorly tilted person. Laura, you remember my low back was super tight, a lot of tone back there. Probably clear back from having three kids, from being a runner, from never working the abdominals. And so that neuromuscular reeducation and then strength and endurance. So that's where, you know, am I going to prescribe somebody to do 50 crunches? No. Like it's what the stabilizer abdominal work that we're doing.
I want to share with you a little secret I have. This secret is this amazing skincare line that I've been using now for a year. Now, I am a product queen. It is the one thing I spend money on. I don't spend a lot of money on clothes, but I love products. And I love skincare products because I want my skin to really reflect and showcase how I feel inside. But this is honestly the best product I've ever tried. And I love the fact that it's vegan, it's all natural. You could literally eat it because it's totally organic. Herbal face food. It's the most potent anti-aging, multi-correction, antiviral skincare on the market. It's magic. I can't even describe it. I use a little bit of Serum One a few times a week and it tightens up my skin. And then it also kind of whitens it a little bit, makes it feel like all the sun damage disappears, but you can go for the serum two, which is like the correction, and that goes into the more sun damaged areas. So you're just going to have to try it for yourself. So go to the show notes and hit the link. Laura20 is the code for 20% off herbal face food. I love it. I love it. I want to share it with you all.
And the stabilizer abdominal work, it occurs in the reset, which is the first part that we start off with the LIT method, but it's throughout your practice. You know, speaking of that tone, I'm thinking of that tone when I'm in airplane. I'm thinking of that tone when I'm in crescent lunge. Where are my ribs stacked, which I never thought of before. So that's the beauty of this postnatal period is it's not just for right after the baby. And it's not just for moms. It's for anybody. So many of my back pain patients, men, women, adolescents, have no connection to, they have no idea where they are in space between the shoulders and the hips, basically. So re-educating through postural, you know, techniques is what I credit for taking care of my diastasis recti. I mean, do I still have a little split? Sure.
Yeah.
But do I have low back pain? No. I mean, yes, I have back pain on occasion, but it would be not on a day-to-day. It would be secondary to doing something that I don't normally do.
Right. Or sitting in a car for 8 hours or something.
Exactly. I mean,
all of the postnatal period. And like you said, you could just apply, like we have a postnatal series on LIT Daily. People love. And I tell many people who've never had a baby to do it because it does, that's what it's doing. Like one of the classes is called the pelvic puzzle. It's really like, how do we get these pieces together so that they have this wonderful collaborative effect on, again, holding our center steady, giving ourselves that sense of structural support. And by the way, like you said, a lot of people not knowing, like having any connection, we have a lot of these receptors, they're called proprioceptors, located in these deep postural muscles. And those are super important for balance, for endurance, for any kind of athletic activity, but also just, again, sitting on the floor, sitting at your desk, those are the little receptors that are going to give tiny signals that we're not even consciously aware of that tell us like, oh, you're starting to slump back. And those signals are super important for just, again, maintaining alignment. Alignment is important because that helps us enhance energy. It helps us breathe with our diaphragm. So we talk about diaphragmatic breathing. We automatically do that in all of our lit work. The pelvic floor is balanced when the pelvis is balanced. So structurally, if the pelvis isn't balanced, it's really hard to get the pelvic floor working as optimally as you like it to. And we shouldn't just say pelvic floor, but the pelvic wall, all of the pelvic muscles that are part of the core. And so when people are early on and they're like, when should I start? I'm eager to get back. I'll say, do what I did, which I found so fun and funny, which was, I remember it was like within a week or two. And I had no, I will say my births were, there was no, I didn't have any tearing or extra trauma or anything like that. So it was just fatigue and all that. 2 8-pound babies, 1 8.5 and 1 8. But I just got on my back, bent my knees, and I just tried to lift my head a little bit. And I would look down. So that's the other thing. You've got to look because you're just disconnected. That area has been stretched out. Those proprioceptors have gone sleepy. And I just looked down and I just saw those muscles just, they were just quivering. And I'd be like, oh my God, this is so funny. They were like, what are you doing? But that's the exciting thing is it's like the postnatal period really should be called the awakening because you're awakening to a different period, but also a different relationship with yourself. And I would say, again, if it's 6 weeks or 6 years, 16 years, it doesn't matter, that use this as an opportunity to get to know yourself better and, you know, really go back to the posture. It does matter because it sets up everything. It sets up the way these muscles work together, muscles helping to stabilize, muscles helping to move in this. That's the simplistic version of it, but that's that neuromuscular coordination, which makes you feel efficient, which doesn't burden any area causing discomfort. And it's just magical. And then you add cardio when you're ready. Can you talk a little bit about your experience with going like, and some of the information you've gotten about how to get back into cardio? Because there's people who want to get back into running, jumping, kind of those dynamic movements.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and really the global recommendation is not to do that until, you know, running until you're like at 13 weeks plus. So, you know, 3 months out would just be being able to walk without symptoms, you know? And so you want to start walking, you know, relatively early on, 4 to 6 weeks, 6 weeks would be more for exercise, but so you're starting to walk because when we walk, we've got gravity. So we're naturally going to respond to gravity. The pelvic floor is going to naturally start to tense against that gravity. So, you know, at the 3 to 4 week, you want to start building up your walking. And once you're able to do that, once you're able to, you know, really feel that you're not, let's say, if you are someone who struggles with leakage, you want to be able to walk before you start to run. I mean, just like with anything, with a child is going to learn how to walk usually before they start to learn how to run. But, you know, so that build up to it is going to be much more, we call closed chain on the floor, stability work, where you're moving and you're holding the core strong. So, you know, 13 weeks plus starting a walk run, you know, where you're not going to go straight back into running 3 miles. Does that mean some people can? Of course. There are the people. I mean, I was one of those dopes who made it my goal to run a marathon before my first child turned one. I call myself a dope. I mean, I didn't that didn't hurt anything, but right. it was an ego. It had nothing to do with postnatal recovery. And I, like you, I was very fortunate, didn't have any major complications. I didn't have major tearing, because that's the other thing. We have to recognize that we're talking about like normal vaginal deliveries that don't have major tears that can dramatically push everything back. Even a C-section, you know, now we're adding on healing there that's going to shift your timetable back. But, you know, we want to build up, I want to say slowly, but intentionally. And so that learning how to hold, as you say, Laura, hold your shit together, but, you know, hold that tone, because the beauty of running, I've found, is the breath work helps you to do that. When you are running, and that can even be, again, just a walk run, you have to hold your breath is going to help you build that tone. In fact, I mean, I think that's why when we do our abs and we focus so much on the breath work with abs, that's so important. But with running, you know, start with a walk run, shoot for like that 13 week, probably many people, it might even be more like 20, but start with, you know, building up to where you don't have symptoms, and then allow that to help with the breath to help you tie that together. Those are the biggest, you know, recommendations by way of running, getting back into it, and just listen to your body. Don't ignore what your body's telling you. You don't need to overreact. You know, it's going to feel different. Don't forget, when you are breastfeeding, you're producing hormones that are making your ligaments more lax. So that is going to have an impact if you are someone who pre-pregnancy struggled with knee issues, struggled with ankle issues, struggled with back pain, you're going to be more susceptible to that. So be aware and maybe do some extra strength training around those hypermobile areas. So you start to build that stability back, because then when you go to running, don't forget that you're ramping up the amount of torque through those joints, you are at a higher risk of injury. So it's very, I think it's very individualized.
Very, so yes.
That's where it would be great to work with a professional who perhaps you had a relationship before, who knows where you are. And then also just patience. You know, I think people, runners, we're all type A and we really want to get back to it. If you're running and you're having back pain, then back it off.
Or if it does, like I was a big runner. And when I was pregnant with Olivia, I was like, I'm going to run as long as I can until it doesn't feel good. And I wasn't even showing, but I would say like around 10 weeks, it just didn't feel good. Same. And then, so I started maybe 3 months after she was born, and it didn't feel painful. It just felt strange. And so what I did is I did a lot of walking, but I also started walking like very soon. Couple days afterwards, just slow, you know, slow walking. And I would use either my own hands, or even if I was holding the baby in front, almost as a feedback to kind of draw me back into myself. And that feedback was huge. So even when I was running and it felt weird, it was mostly because I think I had bigger boobs and I was just not used to those. But I feel for everybody who has, like, I've always had smaller breasts. And so running with big boobs, I'm like, how do people do this? but that feedback, and then I would just put my hands right here as I was walking and just give myself some, like, that feedback, that assistance, because you'll need that for a bit. Don't be afraid to put your hands on yourself when you're walking. And especially if you've got your hands free, if you're pulling a stroller, just always think, how do I, as my body weight is going forward, how do I hold myself back? And again, that isn't gripping, that isn't sucking in. It's just challenging your center to hold steady as you're moving through space. And, you know, finally, let's just address if there's anything that you know, this is also can be a really tricky period, because your body doesn't feel like itself. Mm-hmm. You might feel like you're living like in a completely different body, and your brain and your hormones, and you know, you just want to be super kind and gentle. do what feels good, get support, professional support. But I can't say enough how starting to prioritize self-care at a, like, you are as important as your child, because your child is depending on you and your health and your energy, your vitality. So the other thing that I have been kind of astounded with, and now I'm not so much anymore because I've been doing this for 30 years, and but it's like that women in particular, mothers, have kind of delay taking care of themselves. And I know you're fatigued, and I know all the things, and there's might be other things going on, but if you can do a little bit of movement every day and then just start making those more and more frequent throughout the day, you don't have to go back to a 75-minute practice, but you need to do something, and you're going to feel better for it. And it really helps with all the different changes. You know, there's a lot, lifestyle changes, all of it, but take care of you. You are number one.
And at this stage, you've got to schedule it in. I'm not going to lie to you, Laura. I was dropping my kid off before 7 a.m. And then I was picking them up at 6 p.m. because, you know, I went back to work full time. I would work 7 to 3, and then I would go to the gym or go for a run after work. And I didn't feel bad about that. I really didn't. And sometimes then, okay, I'd have a couple errands to run. I'd go to the grocery store, you know, while they were in daycare, you know, like I took advantage of that time that I was paying a lot of money for. And I'm like, the kids are fine. I've got 3 great kids.
Amazing kids.
Yeah. That was so good for my mental health. I would go with friends. I would meet my husband. He and I would go together. We both got off a little early. We would go work out together. And then we would go get the kids, and we were energized. So, and that is what like what you're talking about. You ladies, being a mom is hard enough as it is. Mm. Do not feel guilty. No. There's so much judgment on you, but taking care of yourself should never be judged, because better happy mom, happy child. Happy
yes.
mom.
I had that on my whiteboard. When mama's happy, everybody's happy. Exactly. And it's true, because you know, you are you're like the CEO of the household in a lot of ways. And it is so, yes, if we say nothing else, please take care of you and never feel guilty about it. And our kids are old enough. Our experiment is mostly done. We can say it worked really well, because the presence you bring is not in the number of minutes. It's in the true like attention and patience that you bring. And that can, you know, that could be an hour a day versus you're with them 10 hours a day, but you're just not present. You're irritated. Like, you're just going to be a better self. Yeah. And then you won't feel bad about not being your best self, because that'll happen too. Anyway, mamas, we're pulling for you, but this, please send this to anyone who is about to have a baby, who's had a baby, 10 years ago, and might have some of these postural issues that have, it's basically the posture that then changes all these other things. It changes their neuromuscular relationship, the coordination, the control. It changes the way you breathe. It changes the way you manage pressure. It changes all of that. So if you know of anybody who's had a baby a long time ago, or who hasn't even had a baby, but might have some of these things that we mentioned, postnatal period can be like looked at as a period of just regaining knowledge about yourself. And we can do that at any time. So thank you, my dear, for joining me on our deep dive. You can send us questions about what you'd like to see on our deep dive. We're doing this once a month, where we really go into a topic. Our topics are going to be based on the themes that we have on the Lit Daily. But if you know of anything in particular you'd like us to venture talking about, we'd love to hear from you. So write us at support@lityoga.com. And check out our postnatal series on Lit Daily. It is really wonderful, and it's helpful, again, for anyone. And as always, we're pulling for you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Redefining Movement. If you like what you've heard, please like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to leave us a rating and review, or share with someone you know. Check us out at www.litmethod.com.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.